Greetings in the name of the Lord. In this series of lessons, we are studying together from the prison epistles of Paul. These epistles are Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon. And over a long period of many weeks, we'll be studying together from these epistles. There are several things, again, I want to remind you of as we begin this study. First of all, that we are studying from the Word of God itself. It is very important that we have the correct attitude as we approach God's Word, that this is God's Word. It carries with it authority. It carries with it the commands of God Himself, the will of God Himself, His desires for us, His desires for mankind, His plans for us, everything. And it's very important that we accept our study from this standpoint. If we approach it from any other standpoint, for instance, from an intellectual standpoint, we're going to miss the point of what God is trying to say. Because in our minds, we will have the command over what we're reading. In other words, we ourselves will decide, if we approach it from an intellectual standpoint, what we will believe and what we will not believe, what we will accept and what we will not accept. But when you approach it from God's standpoint, the fact that this is God's Word and that these prison epistles are part of a number of books, 66 in all, in God's Word, and that all of it is God's Word. When you approach it from this standpoint, then we approach it humbly, accepting its teachings, willing to follow absolutely the teachings of the Word of God. Whatever the subject of these teachings might be, we absolutely follow the teachings of the Word of God. And so according to the Scriptures, according to Peter and according to Timothy, this is the inspired Word of God. Whether it's Genesis or any other part of the Old Testament, or whether it's Matthew or any part of the New Testament, the entire book is the Word of God. And not only is it the Word of God, but it's the only Word of God. There is no other book. The book of Revelations, in fact, closes with the admonition that if you add to or you take away, you are going to be cursed. In other words, you don't take away from the book, you don't add to it in any way. Now, I say this because many people have written other books claiming that these books are the Word of God. There is no other Word of God. Every other book is false if it contradicts in any way the Word of God itself. Now, many people have written commentaries on the Word of God, but even these commentaries we examine very, very carefully because we want to be sure that they agree with the teachings of the Word of God. But when you find some religious leader saying that God has inspired him to write some book or even a series of books in some religions, then this leader is, of course, a false teacher. We would not follow his teachings at all because he's contradicting what God himself has given us, and that is the Bible as the inspired Word of God. One other admonition I would like to share with you. It is possible, and I say this respectfully, that some of you who are listening today have not yet trusted the Lord Jesus as your Savior from sin. In other words, from an intellectual standpoint, you may be approaching this study. You may even follow this study, and I respect that. But you're not saved. You don't have any relationship with God. Even though you might be good people, you still are lost in your sins. And I would share with you this word of advice. You cannot really understand God's Word unless you belong to Him. In other words, when I became a Christian, when you would become a Christian, the Holy Spirit comes to live in our hearts. He came to live in my heart at the age of 14. And it doesn't mean I was better than anybody else, but it meant I had a relationship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. I had trusted Him as my Savior. I was no longer a hopeless lost sinner, but I had trusted Him as my Savior. And now I have a relationship with Him through the Lord Jesus Christ. And now the Holy Spirit lives in my heart. And every day when I study God's Word, when I read God's Word, when I meditate on God's Word, I ask Him by His Spirit to illuminate my heart and help me to understand what I'm reading. So if you're not a Christian, you need to trust the Lord Jesus as your Savior. You will notice as we go through the study of these four books, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon, that the subject of salvation is one of the main teachings of each of these books. especially the first three books. And the first sections of these books, in fact, are divided between doctrinal and practical. And the doctrinal mainly has to do with the person and work of the Lord Jesus himself, and then our relationship to him in salvation. And so you need to consider this very carefully. Many of you, of course, will have heard the gospel before, even over this radio station, or in your churches, or wherever you might have heard it. But you've heard the gospel before, but perhaps you've never acted on it. I would beg you, I would plead with you, to act upon this truth. Now, in this remaining time of this lesson, I want to just take a little bit more time considering the background of Paul himself and why he wrote these books and where he was and what the situation was when he wrote these books. In our last lesson, we pointed out that when Paul went back to Jerusalem after his third missionary journey, he was in prison for 2 years, from 56 to 58 A.D. in the Jerusalem area. Actually, he was imprisoned first in Jerusalem and then in a city called Caesarea down on the coast. And in this imprisonment, Paul was getting a taste of what prison life would really be. The fact that it would mean suffering, it would mean bondage, it would mean some kind of persecution going on with people slandering him and everything. So Paul was learning what imprisonment would really be. And then in 58 A.D., after Paul himself appealed to Caesar rather than being killed by the Jews, the Apostle Paul was taken by the Roman soldiers on a boat, in fact on several boats. He was taken finally to the far distant city of Rome itself. Now as he came to Rome, several things happened. First of all, he lived in a hired house in the very beginning because the Jews had not yet come to Rome to accuse him. And the Roman authorities at this time had not begun their major persecution of the Christians, which began probably in about 65 A.D. Now at this time, the Romans were still a little bit favorable to the Christians, and at least they were not persecuting them. And Paul, as a Roman citizen, of course, had certain rights. And so under guard, he was allowed to stay in a private house somewhere in the city of Rome. And in this house, people could freely come and go. They could visit him, he could preach to them, he could have Bible classes. He witnessed to both Jews and Gentiles while he was in this house. And so this was a period of about 2 years. And it was a period of freedom. And I want to emphasize this, that Paul had freedom to go, come and go to a very limited extent under guard, but nevertheless he had some freedom. But in 60 A.D., they changed. And now the Romans, after the accusations by the Jews, the Romans themselves have turned against him. And now they put him in a Roman prison. History, even tradition, tells us that it was a Mamertine prison. It was a very dire situation, a very troublesome situation for the Apostle Paul, very different from living in a hired house. Now, access to him was more limited. Paul was lonely many times. What a wonderful thing it is that in the book of Philippians, while he was in the very depths of that Roman prison, while he was even chained to the wall, because he mentions chains several times in Philippians chapter 1, that the Apostle Paul could still have a joyous, victorious spirit, where Paul could say in Philippians chapter 4, I have learned in every circumstance to be content. So the Apostle Paul now is in prison. And in this prison, he was going through some very difficult times. This imprisonment lasted probably from 60 A.D. until very early in 62 A.D. In other words, probably about a year and a half, he was in this prison situation, in the Roman prison. And in this Roman prison, then, Paul writes these four epistles. Now, in this Roman prison, people could still come and see him. The Philippians, for instance, sent gifts to him to help support him. The Philippians sent representatives to him. Epaphroditus would be one of these, one of their representatives, come to encourage him and to tell him that the people were praying for him and that they deeply cared for him. We'll be studying this as we get into the book of Philippians. But he was able to see certain people. And then, in about 62 A.D., sometime during that year, perhaps about midway through that year, Paul was released. and he had a period of freedom of about 3.5 years. But in 65 AD, again, he's taken prisoner. Perhaps in very late 65 AD, he's taken prisoner. He's back in prison again, this time under the sentence of death. He's going to write the second book of Timothy during this time. During the time of release, he wrote First Timothy and Titus. But then in prison again, he writes Second Timothy. Now Paul is a bit discouraged. He's facing death. People have deserted him. He says, for instance, in 2 Timothy, Demas has forsaken me, and another man has gone to another place. He begs Timothy to come to see him and bring some encouragement and to bring some materials that Paul had left behind in Troas. And so now this is going to be the time just before he dies. And finally, in about 66 AD, about the middle of that year, the Apostle Paul is beheaded in the Roman prison, about the same time that Peter himself died. And so this is somewhat the background of Paul's imprisonment. Now in this imprisonment, Paul still has a great love and a great burden for the churches he had established. The Philippian church had been established on his second missionary journey. He had briefly touched in Ephesus on his third missionary journey. He had evangelized there, but on his second journey, he had briefly touched there, very briefly, and then went back to Jerusalem again. But on his third missionary journey, he stayed there a long period of time, and he really established that church. And in fact, there were probably a number of churches that were established during Paul's stay there in the Ephesus area. And then Colossae, Paul had not actually been to Colossae yet. We read this and we learn this from Colossians itself and from the book of Philemon. But the Apostle Paul nevertheless had a close tie with Colossae because one of his evangelists, apparently a man who was one under Paul's ministry in Ephesus, the name was Epaphras. Epaphras had carried the gospel back to Colossae. Now, Colossae was over to the east of Ephesus, and as I say, Paul had never actually been there. But he planned to be there, and he tells Philemon, "Prepare a place for me." And so the Apostle Paul now has a close tie, he feels, with all of these churches. And then Philemon himself. It's not clear exactly how he met Philemon, but nevertheless, apparently Philemon was a good friend. And when Paul writes to him in the book of Philemon, Paul can write as a good friend. And so as he's in this Roman prison now, he has a very close tie with each of these churches to which he's writing. He has a close fellowship with them. And the wonderful thing about these four letters is that they did have problems. There were certain issues that he needed to address. But they weren't the problems, for instance, of the Corinthian church. In the Corinthian church, and we studied this in 1 Corinthians, in the Corinthian church there were 12 different issues that had to be dealt with. These were major church problems, problems of unity, problems of trouble at the table of the Lord, problems of lawsuits against each other. Every kind of problem you can imagine, including immorality, was present in that Corinthian church. We don't find the multitude of these problems in any of these churches to which Paul is writing. And in fact, in the Philippian church, there are only a couple of problems he even mentions. And these problems are not major problems. They're more problems of personalities than anything else. So they're not major problems he's facing. It's a book, in fact, free from most of these problems, a book of great rejoicing, and a book of very close fellowship between Paul and the Philippian people. And so these books are books that do address issues, and we're going to be studying these issues one by one. Mainly the issues of their understanding of salvation itself and of the responsibilities of the Christian life, and some issues of relationships, understanding what these relationships really are to be before God. So we will be studying these things. But we thank the Lord that as we come into this study, it is not like the study of Corinthians. In other words, there we're dealing with a wicked church, even in 2 Corinthians, when some of the problems were taken care of by the Corinthians, they still had a bitterness toward Paul over what he had told them in 1 Corinthians. They were doubting him, they were criticizing him, they were slandering him, they were casting him down in every possible way. And so Corinthians would be very, very different. So we come to the study of these books, and we come to it with joy and with the expectation that we're going to learn by the Holy Spirit what it means to be saved and what it means to live the Christian life. I trust that you'll follow with me as we come into these studies, and I trust that by the Spirit of God, that God will teach your hearts and that you'll get deeper into the Word yourselves. I do not claim that everything I say is perfect, or you may even disagree with some of the conclusions that I reach as God has taught me from the Word of God. You may disagree with some of them. I respect that. But I'm simply saying, I trust that this study together, you will follow day by day. And following it day by day, you may grow in the Lord, and you may also go deeper into the Word of God yourself. Isn't it wonderful that by the Holy Spirit, we ourselves can study the Word of God? I know we need teachers. I respect the teachers who taught me, Dr. Tinney and others. But we also can study the Word of God and can understand it. And so study with me. And again, look into the Word of God itself. Examine carefully the text. Follow carefully the text, because we're going to be following it verse by verse by verse. And may God help you and bless you in your lives. May the Lord bless you, each one.